Welcome to episode 74 of the Iron Agenda, the podcast about War Machine, wars, and whatever else is on our minds. Hey everybody, and welcome to the Iron Agenda, the podcast sponsored by Kara Sloan's Day Spa. We can make anyone look like Cloud from Final Fantasy. I'm Josh.
I'm Dave.
I'm Tim.
Have you seen her artwork?
Yes.
She looks like Cloud.
Everybody was talking about that.
Replace the Buster Sword with the Buster Rifle.
Uh-huh.
Where do you slot the materia in that thing? Is that what that glowing thing is up by the end, by the muzzle?
Sure. Don't spoil it for me, because like 5 years ago, okay. I stopped halfway through the game.
Eris dies.
Shit. I'm on the one where I think you're in an elevator that's like falling on the side of a building or something. Does that make sense?
Oh, that's not even halfway through the game. I think I might be on the second disc. You haven't even left the city yet, have you?
Yes, I did. Maybe that's where I am. I know I left the city, but I just left the city.
You haven't even gotten to anything
role-playing with a guy named Chad, one of the hosts of Fear the Boot. I think he's the one that was telling me this. He played Final Fantasy VII back in the days, and he got out of Midgar, and is like, well, the game's over, I win. And he got bored running around the countryside. He's like, I'm just going to pretend the game ended at Midgar and stop playing.
Nice.
The other discs are just bonus.
Yeah, it's all bonus content.
Like the ultimate weapon.
Next to the round, X summon, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Go make yourself a sandwich and come back and the enemies are dead. Because you can mimic that shit.
So I received an interesting package in the mail this week.
I heard.
From Duncan, the yo-yo company. They sent me new Warstone materials, including a battle arena.
I sense a new video coming.
Maybe.
A sequel.
Possibly.
Warstone 2, Electric Boogaloo.
There you go.
I have an idea for the cinematic setup already.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll have to get to work on that.
Got to make war with your balls, guys.
See, the closest store that I believe is hosting a qualifier tournament for their $25,000 tournament at Gen Con is in South Missouri. It's like right at the Boot Hill, right at the edge of Arkansas.
They're not going to be using marbles. They're using meth balls.
I can't remember the name of the town, but I toyed with the idea of going down there to see if I could qualify. But I probably won't.
Would you have to do 1, 2, 3 war ball?
Probably be laughed out of the store. Just because they don't know how to play the game. And it's Warstone.
Sorry.
So yeah, we have to be careful about that. Might get a cease and desist like a lone wolf.
Yeah.
Hilarious. That's all I can say.
Well, I don't think anybody can really fault lone wolf for what they did, but replacing it with iBodger on the...
That's what cracked me up.
That's hilarious.
That is funny.
So yeah, apparently you no longer can build armies, but you can bodge them.
That's right.
That makes sense. You're really repairing it.
And congratulations to Wiccan Wendell out there.
Yeah.
Who's become a little celebrity, I guess, in his own right.
I'm actually thinking on upgrading to a 3G phone.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do and I get an iPhone, I will definitely be relying on the iBodger.
Yep. I have a pretty big iPod, like 160 or 180 gig, whatever. And if I didn't have that, I would just get an iPod Touch so I could have it as well, because it's something that I think everybody could use. Of course, pencil and paper isn't that hard. But it's really the organization, how it lets you, get contracts and tiers and crap like that. That's really where it comes in use, I think.
I'm old school.
Well,
pen and paper.
You could also do some of the
Abacus.
The online tools, like Forward Commander or whatnot. You just do it through a browser to your 3G phone, too.
Yeah. Some people, like, if you just had an iPhone or an iPod.
iPhone?
An iPhone.
iPhone you.
There you go. I'm trademarking that.
Oh, shit.
You know, if you don't have internet connectivity, but you still need it, then you would need something that's just purely a client. But, yeah. But anyway, yeah.
So what else news? We got news from TempleCon?
There
was some news, yeah.
There's some stuff going on. Looked like it was a pretty good time.
Yeah.
E-Nemo won one of the tournaments. He's going to be in the finals.
I thought it was
regular Nemo.
Yeah, it was regular Nemo, yeah.
He's going to be in one of the final games today.
Cool.
I'm rooting for the old man.
Yeah. People are sort of using it, I think, the results as to whether or not the Horde's field test was balanced and all this. And I think it's a little too early to tell that. But it's kind of funny to see people just latching on to the results. You know, oh my god, this is going to tell us, you know.
Three Retribution players, I think, made it into the finals
today. There's a lot of Signar and Retribution.
I was kind of surprised, but not really, because I think because Retribution's still kind of the new hot thing, a lot of people are playing them, and that might be why. I also think it's funny, related to what you said, Josh, about the field test, people are also kind of looking at it as it's, like, determining the meta.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, that you guys don't have the rest of the stuff that's out yet. You know, the other books aren't out yet, other casters, you know, there's nothing that really...
Yeah.
Well, the thing, I guess, I kind of back up their stance from a little bit here is, there has to be a starting point for the meta. I mean, yeah, it's not where everything's not out and we're not 100% set, But that's going to be always the case. I mean, the game's constantly changing because we're constantly getting releases, mm-hmm. but it would actually be helpful to have a kind of lay some groundwork on what the current meta is, mm-hmm. and then we can develop from there as stuff comes out. Now, I'm not saying that
Telecon
alone is going to do it.
No, it was more the forum posters that were cracking me up because they're like, oh my God, here it goes.
It's like, but I think it's kind of a good sign, though, because people are so involved in the game. They want to see it succeed. And it's kind of cool just to have that sort of a presence on the board, you know, just getting people excited, riled up a little bit. I think it's kind of cool.
I think you're kind of cool, Josh.
I know I'm kind of cool. But Tim, this is completely off topic, but you had a really good idea earlier. We were talking about Siege's Hammers in particular, and you said, what was your idea?
I've decided that Privateer needs to work with Nerf or one of the other, you know, Nerf-type companies and make Nerf weapons of all the IK weapons.
Bro.
So, Siege's Hammer would be like a Nerf hammer, or, you know, you can get a Nerf dart gun that's like Kane's Spellstorm pistols.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple of those.
I do, too. Or, Quicksilver Striker Sword would be a good one. Or
what do they call that? Boffing?
Something like that.
Boffer
weapons and things like that, yeah. That would be kind of cool.
I'd buy some.
Nerf does make a sword. I want Lola.
They just came out with a battle axe.
Did they?
God. I just smacked my niece in the store with it the other day. She grabbed a sword. She's like, hey, and whacked me in the arm. I'm like, all right, that's it. Not only did I whack her with it, I turned it so it was the flat side, so it would be more like a smack and right in the stomach.
So you hit her with the flat of the blade.
Uh-huh.
So that's only subdual damage.
I know. That heals
like twice as fast or something
right.
that.
Yeah, right.
Unless you get killed by a magic attack and have Deathless Frenzy and you're a barbarian.
Nine!
Oh my God. I hope people watch that. That was so funny.
Great.
That was.
I don't think I've seen Mark laugh that hard in a long time.
Oh yeah?
He was rolling watching that thing. It's just anybody who's had role-playing experience would love that.
Right, right.
We should link it if we haven't
We did last week.
Okay, good.
All right. So, what was the other big news?
Last episode.
We have a lot of new models previewed.
Yeah.
Forces of War Machine Signar.
Well, I was talking about on the website.
Fuck Signar.
On the website?
How about the Exemplar Errant UA?
I like the art.
Models aren't bad.
Yeah.
I like them because the model, it's a solid unit.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously we don't know what the hell the unit attachment does, but if it makes them any better, they're going to be pretty good.
Let's speculate.
Either combined ranged attack.
Combined arms, maybe. Just for the reroll.
Well, they don't have combined ranged attack, so you have to get that as well. You have to have combined ranged attack.
You have to have at least two guys in the CRA. Yep. That's right. Maybe gives them both?
Hope
one would be granted.
So I think that might be likely.
It'll probably just let their arrows do fire.
That would be cool.
No, that would be dumb.
That's probably what's going to happen.
It's going to be something more defensive. I mean, it's a protector.
Well, and they're a fairly defensive unit, the way I've seen those people.
How does
play
Bond
them.
Of Life work now on Mark II? Is it within 3 inches or just anybody in the unit?
Anybody in the unit formation.
Okay, so I can't. I thought maybe they'd expand a little bit. Yeah. My guess is that they'd try to play off Bond of Life somehow, but I don't know how
they'd
do that.
Could give them tough.
Ooh, that would be interesting. That would suck.
That would be dumb. I like it. Let's put it in. Ship it.
I think, actually, fire on the crossbow bolt would be cool as long as it doesn't change it to fire damage type.
Oh, you'd have to go with that. Sorry. You can't have one without the other. Sorry.
Yeah, you can. They're called
TFG. And more importantly, we got Hammerfall High Shield UA.
That one really is really cool. I really like the way the standard looks, because it looks stony and like something a dwarf would make.
Their mini feat's going to be called Throw the Book at Them. Their Book of Laws, the Codex.
Yeah.
You draw a line that's from one end of the unit to the other, and you throw it 10 inches, and everybody gets hit with the book.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big book.
It is. Well, it's, you know, dwarves are... Got a lot of rules.
You sure that isn't the Book of Grudges?
It's the Codex.
Okay.
I wonder if it'll give them covered fuselage back.
Ooh, that would be cool. Combined with CRA.
Yeah.
Actually, the Errant, they're going to get covered fuselage.
Oh, really? Yeah. With their little bitty shields?
Yeah.
Actually, the dwarf shields probably aren't that big either because they're dwarfs.
You know what? Either defensive line or shield wall.
Ooh, they already got shield wall.
No,
you're talking about for the Errant.
On the Errant.
Granted shield wall, that'd be pretty cool.
Interesting, yeah.
They are AD. They're only speed 5, but they can get up the table a little bit quicker.
They have a 10-inch range.
Yeah,
it's good.
Pal 12 or Pal 10?
That's good. I think it's 10.
Or 10. Since they blessed
I think they were 10-10.
Yeah. Interesting.
But they're rat 6, which is pretty respectable. Good stuff, though. I like them.
Was that the only new stuff?
They had some painted models up, the Bane Thrall UA. Or did we talk about that last week?
I don't think we talked. They painted the Bane Thrall
unit. First came up.
Yeah. The Bane Thrall UA and the Blood Witches they painted.
You know, I didn't even really care for the Bane Thrall UA until I saw it painted. I'm like, okay, that standard is amazing.
Yeah, it looks really nice.
The standard looks really good. I don't like the newer shoulder pads. They're more horizontal. At least the old ones, like the initial full unit shoulder pads in the Bane Knights, Bane Thralls, actually did kind of slant down more a little bit and didn't make them look as bulky. I mean, these guys look bigger than Vlad.
I have always had a problem with the shoulder pads. They're always popping off on me, and they don't go on the models very well. You can really position them however you want, but for me, at least, they snap off at the drop of a hat. So I'm hoping that, I don't know, maybe they change the sculpt so that it fits in a little better. But I did like the double axes on the whoever the leader is, because he's got the big serrated knife edges, and it's not like a curved thing. He's really going to kick some ass.
Combo strike.
That's right.
With Dark Shroud.
I think chain attack.
Could be.
That would be vile.
Could be he gives the entire
chain attack smite. So you can slam him, and then all the other bing.
Chain attack decapitation.
Ooh, I like that.
We talked about that.
Let's see if that's all the new stuff. Moving on.
Moving on to the new stuff in the book. The big blue book.
Big book. Well, actually, not to backtrack again, but some other new models did come out this week. Some Kador stuff, right, Tim?
The Kador Rifleman, the Winter Guard Rifleman, and the Widowmaker Marksman, also known as Death Strider Mark II.
And he did not have armor piercing, Tim, I'm sorry.
I know. But he's got a PAL 12 rifle. It's pretty good.
And he does. And he has what, Swift Hunter?
Swift Hunter, and he gives it to the Widowmakers in his command. I was surprised to see that the Winter Guard Riflemen have a range 14 on their guns.
That seems to be pretty big.
They don't have
now.
CRA, from what I've heard. Right. I didn't buy them, but the fact that Grigorovich can give them all boosted range attacks, so they're all
nasty.
Rat 5 boosted, they're going to hit a lot of things.
Or you even got, like, Sorcerer who can feet and freeze people, or you just throw down Tempests and
knock shit down.
Yeah, that's going to suck hard. Too much range for my taste.
Oh, talking about the meta potentially shifting, I've been seeing so much more range attacks. It's... Melee still gets the job done at the end of the day, but I'm seeing a lot more range.
That reminds me of the one other new thing we saw, which I'm glad for, because it means I might actually get some accurate shooting in my army, and that's the Steelhead Rifleman.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot about them.
So, depending on if they work, I mean, well, they will work for a protector, but depending on what they do, I might have to pick them up just so I can have something that can shoot people.
Yeah. I'm assuming
that doesn't
cost
and RoboCop's the unit leader.
People keep saying that.
He does look like Peter Weller, just a little bit, from RoboCop.
Murphy. You're coming with me, Creed.
So we'll see. I mean, the Errants...
Dead or alive.
The Errants kind of serve a little bit different role if they're, like, longer range. If they're even at 12 or maybe even 14 range, I might have to pick up the Rifleman.
Yeah.
Because that'd be... Because a lot of my buffs are friendly model unit.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I didn't pay attention to who they work for. I'm assuming they work for Cricks. They're
Steelheads. Well, they're Steelheads, so they technically will work for anybody, I think.
Oh, true. But I can see marching them in front of, like, Denegar or something, culling the souls as the enemy picks them off, and then just going nuts. Crazy go nuts.
Is her coal souls within her melee range or whatever?
It's 2 inches, yeah. If you want to kill them with blast damage, she'll take the soul.
Run them with Kreos. How hopefully. About that? Yeah.
I don't want to hear anything about Kreos anymore, Dave. You won your first event, Mark II event with them. You got to put them away now.
Actually, it wasn't for the fact that our second resurgence event already filled up. I was thinking about going, and I was going to either take Resnik, Amon, or Fiora. So there.
Well, there.
All right, Tim.
So where are we starting?
Your baby came in the stores this past week.
It did.
Tell us all about it.
Well, the stork came, and a little bundle of joy known as the Forces of War Machine Signar book, as well as Captain Kara Sloan. I like the format. You know, I mean, it's very similar to Retribution. Mm-hmm. I think the tiers are a little more... They're described similarly, but that the format's a little more spelled out, I think.
I was surprised that every caster had 4 tiers.
Yeah, I was surprised. Even Kara Sloan has her own tier.
I was kind of surprised they didn't group the epics together. Like, Signar, Epic Signar, same... Oh, I'm sorry, Signar, Epic Signar, yay!
Like Striker, all the Nemos have
Striker,
the same
Epic ones. Striker, same list.
Hmm. Yeah, that is interesting, but that gives us something to look forward to in the future books to see what everybody's going to get.
Yeah,
I mean that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody's going to get one because they've even said not everybody's going
to
get one.
This seems to be a pretty good precedent.
This indicates that it could be that way, but I mean, like in Kador, you know, I think about it and I'm like, I find it hard to figure out like an old witch. Maybe it's Kassites and Widowmakers and Manhunters, like the Blood Ravens type list. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, there's certain casters that I think are real cut and dry and then others that are kind of up in the air.
Well, I mean, you kind of look at what they did with the Signar ones. There wasn't like the Storm list and the Trencher list and the Gunmage list. They did mix and matching. So,
well, and there are definitely ones that are focused,
right?
But I wouldn't say that there's, and I also look at them, and I don't necessarily think there's one that's uber competitive over another one. They all seem like they're just more for people who really enjoy those types of themes in their armies or just want to play something different.
I hear the Signar Light Cavalry is broken.
I was so excited to see that Crazeless has Signar Light Cavalry and Light Cavalry.
You just wait till I get my Adrians and Camels because they're getting intercept back.
They're getting spit.
They're getting intercept.
They're getting a range attack that's a
range
spit.
Attack, and it's going to cause corrosion.
And it's going to cause blind right in your eye.
It's going to cause both.
Awesome.
But if your Camels get too close to the water, though, they have to go directly toward it and stay there for a round as they drink.
No, they got their lumps. They've got their lovely Camel lumps. They're fine.
Oh, Lord.
All right, Tim, so what do you think?
So my guess on the Crave is that they, because Rangers are a big part of this thing, that I guess the Light Cab might be Rangers.
That makes
speculation,
sense.
Yeah. Rangers on horseback would make sense.
I bet you those could be some really cool sculpts, too.
Oh, my God. I love the Ranger models as is, so you put them on horse.
And they did a great job with Cray, so I can see them being more subtle instead of, like, galloping or whatever. So maybe a sneaking or
sad horse, kind of sad horse, horse, sad horse.
Look at my horse.
He was going for a duck.
It is amazing.
Too, that's more like the...
Give it a lick.
Crap, what am I thinking of?
That's the Lounge Lizard version.
Lounge Lizard, thank you. I was thinking Star Wars. Nothing
Down with the
but...
Sickness.
Do it.
Have you ever heard... It's on the Dawn of the Dead remake.
Uh-huh.
They did a Down with the Sickness Lounge version. Come on, get down with the sickness.
I don't think I'm familiar
with
that.
Oh, so funny.
So do you have a favorite of these theme forces?
That's a good question.
I guess there's no point really going through each of them in detail. But...
No, we won't. We're going to go over one because I made a list off of one of them.
Right.
A favorite?
I do like Darius's mustache.
I thought Darius, he really looks like Mario now.
He does.
Let's see. If I had to pick a favorite...
Wow, he's really thinking hard about this.
I know. I like Sieges a lot because I've always dug Siege. You know, he's cool. But I like the idea of Lord Commander Strikers because you can take two units of Storm Lances. And that's just silly.
But does anybody own those two full
units? I know a few people.
Do you? And are they disappointed now?
So.
All right, what's first up?
Where do we want to... Do we want to start with... We want to go back to the fluff and start with fluff? Or you want to do fluff last? Or...
Let's do fluff last.
I know nothing about the fluff. I didn't read it.
Oh.
Tim's got a whole room full of it.
He does.
Yeah, I have a whole parlor.
Kara Sloan's the first new model in the book.
We'll start with the new model, then.
Cloud, as she's also known. Kara Cloud Sloan.
They're not going to release an epic version of her. They're just going to give her a different loadout of materia.
Mm-hmm. Or it'll be Kara Advent Children or something.
That wasn't bad. I watched that.
Advanced Signar. Advanced Signar.
Yeah. The scope... In this, on the rifle and this art is amazing.
I wish the model looked more like the art. I don't like the model holding its gun up. Mm-hmm. It's taller than the original Nemo sculpt, which I already thought was kind of a tall model.
Right.
It's like, I'm going to have to reslot a whole tray just to fit her in.
Just
so
wait
until
the alt sculpt comes out, I guess.
I'm going to cut the part between the actual rifle and the end of the mechanical end of the rifle. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cut that little piece of barrel off and then just pin the other piece on, so it'll be shorter then.
Oh, okay.
If I was playing Signar, I would cut that. I would get some brass tube and some little brass rod, you know, do the whole sleeve mm-hmm. thing, and I would extend it to be about triple the length it is now, just to piss the fuck out of the people on the forums.
Somebody
yeah, now
was...
what? Now how strong is her arm, huh?
You can make like 3 feet tall.
They do talk.
And hang a flag
in a
it.
Related part in the fluff, she fires her gun and it talks about her shoulder kicking back.
Yep.
And she actually has to use the power field from her Warcaster armor to like not hurt her from firing.
Well, I've been thinking
so
recently they need to put out a model that has this big ass gun, maybe like on a pig or something, and it's so powerful that when you shoot it, you get slammed back a few inches or pushed back a few
That's
inches.
That's a troll weapon if I've ever heard it.
I think that would be funny. Over. But what about her? What does she do?
Well, she's dumb. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, that's my word. You can't steal my word.
I didn't know I couldn't take words out of the English language and not use them.
Yeah, well, not the ones that I own.
You're trying to take the power away from that word.
So she's Rat 8, which is pretty damn impressive. She's got arcane precision, so she forfeits her movement to aim. She ignores stealth. So she will be shooting lots of stuff.
Like Grimm, right?
Like, no, Grimm has True Sight now.
Oh, he does True Sight?
Yeah, they upgraded him.
Interesting.
Range 14, power 12 up, master.
Uh-huh. Rate of Fire 1. Although you can make it 2 with Reinhold. Reinhold's going to be her best friend for 1 point.
Yeah, but you know what I like?
What?
Armor 14, because that's 2 off on a rocket when she's been knocked down.
This is true. Other than her rat, she basically has all the stats of Haley. She's got 6 warjack points, so that's a free hunter or a lancer.
16 damage. Not bad.
Not bad at all. She can take a hit. Probably not more than one, but she can take a hit. She's got a sword. If you're using that, you're in trouble. Just kind of like Kane. If you're using your sword, you're in trouble.
Well, it also gives her a melee range.
This is true.
So she can engage stuff.
She has Arcane Blast for one of her spells.
Why didn't I just give her Gunfighter with a rifle?
Right. That's awesome.
She would have reach at that point.
Actually, I'd model a bayonet on it and call that her sword.
I haven't put mine together yet. Ah. She's still in the blister at home.
Josh, you have one?
I do not.
So Arcane Blast is her AoE spell. Pretty standard. Deadeye. That is just pretty much... I kind of figured she'd have that or Snipe.
Mm-hmm.
But, so she,
well,
knows
she kind of has both.
She kind of has both, right. Dust to Dust. This is the oddball spell. I like it, though. What?
It's from Testament.
Oh, it's also from...
well, it used to be from Mozart.
It used to be from Mozart.
But I think it's got a good imagery in it. You know, she just caps the guy so hard, he just kind of explodes a fine mist and creates a cloud.
They should just call it Red Mist.
Red Mist, there you go.
Red Rum. Her big spell, I think, is going to be cast every turn as Fire Group.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what this does for 2 focus... While in her control area, the ranged weapons of models in her battle group gain +2 range. So essentially, she's range 16. Hunters are range 16. Chargers are 14. Defenders are 17, I think, range.
Something like that.
I mean, it's pretty sick. So it's like a good little snipe for her entire battle group. So I think that'll be really important when we get to her feet.
Mm-hmm.
She has Refuge. Have we seen that spell before? Is that
Does Doomshaper have it?
I don't remember.
I'm not sure if that was actually
basically gives you kind of a light cav move.
Yeah, basically when somebody hits you with a melee attack or with an attack, period, that model can then move a full advance ignoring free strikes.
Hang on just a second.
But you have to survive the attack, so.
Enliven for Signars.
Yeah, pretty much.
That is nice, though. I mean, she can put that on one of her ranged jacks to get it away.
Well, and if you take something that's got a ranged and a melee attack, say like a Stormclad, and go, it charges in, or, you know, it got stuck in the melee, and you want to use it like on the feet turn just to shoot instead of beating,
mm-hmm.
you know, it takes it gets hit once, and then it backs up its 5 inches, and then it can shoot in its turn or something, or,
you know,
charge back in.
Hunters used to be annoying with their reserve tank, and they lost that, but now with this, they're going to have, you know, one of them have one every turn, and that's really going to be annoying.
Well, they have to survive the hit. Most things that hit the hunters usually do a good chunk of damage to them. Even with 15 armor, they're pretty, because you still get to resolve the entire attack.
Yeah, it's when the hunter hits something else, the hunter moves.
Oh, so it's not an enemy hitting
them. Right, it's not like return fire.
Okay, it's not return fire. So when it hits,
but it has return fire.
So it could. So my whole Stormclad thing that I was thinking up is Stormclad charges in, hits something, then it can refuge itself out, and then if Kara then pops her feet or whatever, it can then get an extra range attack. Well, you know.
But yeah, her last spell is return fire, so don't shoot her.
Or any model that she wants to put it on for one focus, she could put it on. If she wanted to in one turn, she could put it on 6 different models. Not that I necessarily would, but it is an option.
Return fire used to be all about the enemy missing the model, right?
Uh-huh.
So now it's actually just they make the attack. So it's a little more useful than I used to think, at least. So that's good.
Yeah, I think it's... But it's all range attacks, so, you know, a lot of the Crick's magic stuff will get around it.
True.
Don't purge on anybody that's got return fire that can survive the purge.
Yeah. And it only targets a model, not even a model unit. It costs 1, though. I don't know. It's really situational.
I think her bang for her buck spells are Deadeye and Fire Group. Mm-hmm. I really, really what it comes down to.
We talk about her feet?
We're getting there. Her feet, Firing Squad. Takes Raven from the Retribution's feet and part of Epic Lilith's feet and really just goes to town with it. It says, while in Kara Sloan's control area, friendly faction models gain boosted ranged attack rolls. That's the Raven part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody gets 3 dice on their attack rolls. ranged attack rolls, excuse me. And then when a model in Sloan's battle group that is in her control area hits an enemy model with a normal range attack during its activation, immediately after that attack is resolved, a model in Sloan's battle group that is in her control area can make one normal range attack. It could be the same model, or it could be another model. Mm-hmm. And it gets around rate of fire. So, you know, a model that only has rate, like a defender, could fire twice, potentially.
But you can only get,
get one firing squad attack, and it lasts for a turn. But, you know, I was looking at it, and that can give, because hunters seem to be very popular right now in Signar. Mm-hmm. I know I like to use them. That could be two hunter attacks. And if you have two of them, that's four armor-piercing shots against something on a medium or large base. It's pretty sick.
Yeah.
Add in, you know, I think it's going to, like the Charger, who I already like a lot, put three focus on a Charger, and it can potentially get, it'll get three boosted attack shots, two of which have boosted damage rolls.
Wait, say that again?
If a Charger had three focus, so it'll get two shots with boosted attack and damage rolls.
Right, on its
one of those hits, under the feat turn, it would get a third shot with a boosted attack roll, but no boosted damage.
Oh, right.
So it can put out, you can put out a lot of, I don't know if it's going to be good with a lot of heavies or mostly lights, or, you know, I gotta experiment with her.
What's gonna be good with is Stormblades, because she's gonna cast her +2 range spell. She's gonna feat and cast Deadeye in the Stormblades. The little UA is gonna hit somebody.
The weapon attachments.
Yeah, the weapon attachment is gonna hit somebody, and then they're gonna.
That'll all be AoEs.
And well, it doesn't matter, because once your Warcaster's dead, your game's over.
So, you know, she's interesting on her own, and I will probably play her a couple times just to kind of get a feel for her, but I think her true potent capability is going to be in dual caster games. I think her and, say, regular Haley's feet stacked are going to be dumb. Lots of extra shots flying around.
Don't forget stacking with Temporal Barrier.
Mm-hmm. And boosted attack rolls.
You may not get as much out of this, but Siege's feet with her, with a Weapon Master and her gun, one shot, and that's only one shot, that'd be a very potent shot.
One shot, one kill, no exceptions. Sniper. Well, movie with Tom Berenger from
never saw
80s
it.
Or 90s. What?
From one of those
It's
decades.
A salty dog cinema.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we'll have to look into
Billy
it.
Billy Zane's in it, too.
I know that name. Was he the guy in Titanic?
Yes.
Yes, okay, I know who he is then.
He's also in Zoolander, if you've seen that.
I think I fell asleep through it both times I tried to watch it.
That's a salty dog cinema, too, probably.
What's next?
What is next?
The next new model would be the Cyclone, but we've talked about the Cyclone. I think we can skip past
next
that.
Next is Firefly.
Oh, the Firefly. We do lights first. Yay, Firefly.
Take my love. Take my land.
What?
Don't even act like you don't know what I just sang.
No, I know.
Son of a bitch.
What's it from?
It's the theme song to Firefly.
Oh. I haven't watched it in such a long time, I forgot it.
Do I have to That's kick you in the balls and make you take my DVDs?
I own the set, thanks.
Well, Dave, I know I sent this to you like literally years ago, but the group Escape Key did like a full version of the song using that as the chorus.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's not a very good, well, I think if the song is good, I don't like their rendition of it, but it's pretty cool.
You should do one, Josh.
No.
Damn. So, Firefly Light Warjack. Yeah.
Firefly Class Light Warjack.
Class. Okay. Chassis.
Looks like a horse.
Yeah. That it's like half mile. It's referred to in the tiered list.
For 5 points, this is a solid piece of equipment.
Look at you and your power plus strength 13 melee weapon with reach.
With
finally.
Reach. Yeah, this is a jack to be marshaled with the Sword Knights.
Yeah. He can shoot and leap a little bit.
A little bit of leaping.
Yeah, I mean, they use the one martial ability, that basically their virtual focus, to boost the ranged attack. It can still kill a couple guys.
Yeah, it's immune to electricity. Its Storm Blaster is range 10, pow 10 with Electro Leap, damage type electricity. Its most amusing and interesting ability for me is Conductor. Is when a friendly Stormsmith Stormcaller makes a Surge or Triangulation Stormcall, this model is considered to be another friendly Stormsmith Stormcaller. Yeah. This guy runs and sets up the Triangulation or the Surge.
Or both of them run, and then one Stormcaller does the Triangulation.
Well, and, you know, I have been playing Epic Nemo lately, and I've kind of fallen in love with the Stormsmiths. Mm-hmm. They're just fun, you know. And they were a blast to paint. Nothing special. But
Was that a pun?
Not supposed to be a pun, but thanks, Dave, for cutting me off. I appreciate that.
Well, what you're saying wasn't of value anyway, so.
It's true. It's kind of like when you talk about the Protector.
Pretty much exactly like I'm just talking about.
This guy's on what the Charger chassis. Actually, yes. Are they all condensing all the different chassis now into one? Because the plastics, they all have the same chassis.
Well, and
those
we get
all
to
the
that
same chassis jacks.
Well, and if you look at it, it's
Thorn
the Charger
the
chassis.
Though,
he? No, he is a Lancer. He's considered a Lancer, so he is on a Lancer chassis.
Okay.
It's a little bit different.
Right.
If you look at all, I'm guessing that there's going to be a plastic kit that includes the Firefly, and you'll get all the options to make it, because there's plastic. It looks like there's new chassis for all the lights in the back of the book. And that would be no exception.
Yeah, it's the
they're a little bit beefier. They're in line with Thorn's chassis, which everybody's like, "Oh my god!"
The Grenadier
god,
and
huge.
The Hunter is the other chassis.
That's the other one, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I would expect when they do a next book, you know, a year from now or whatever, when they get all five factions plus Mercs in the book,
you think they'll put out a book at Gen Con
this year?
This Gen Con?
Oh, no. I think you'll get Primal Mark II will be, and my other guess is you'll get the Dex at Gen Con for Hordes.
That's probably a good bet.
And maybe the new Warlocks, just to give them something to play with. But enough about Hordes. This is a real game, War Machine.
I still want the single cast.
I'm going there. I'm just messing around. what I like about this guy, because he's immune to electricity, so like Haley and regular Nemo, they can use him as a target for chain lightning, and he doesn't take any damage. So
Well, the Sword Knights flanking him will.
Yep.
Well, you know, they require me to own Sword Knights and play them.
Oh, I have a unit. The Fort Block scheme.
Ooh.
Not painted by me.
Painted by Viking.
That's right.
I think everybody at some point, if Vader put the post up, except Dave, has owned something by Viking that has been painted by him.
So what do we got next here?
Next would be the Cyclone, but we've already talked about it, so we'll skip the Cyclone. Units. Let me get to the
still
units.
Flipping.
I think we actually get to the Stormblade weapon attachment.
Infantry Storm Gunner.
This guy has made me decide to buy a unit of Stormblades. He is cool.
This guy hits you with under Deadeye and Carousel's feet. He rolls 4 dice to hit. So he's on average rolling, 19?
Well, yeah.
Okay. So
and nobody else needs to roll.
Exactly. So on average, he rolls a 19. He
against that single model.
He caps your Warcaster, and then all the Storm Guard throw there. What are the Poplar Strength and Storm Guard? You guys got
it. It ends up being 14 with the UA, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm not Storm Guard, sorry, Storm Blade.
Storm Blade, it's the regular unit that increases their range and power.
It's not even the UA that lets them
do
that? Oh, that's right, he gives them like
so what's it come to?
So it makes them range 12, POW 14.
Mm-hmm. So then you get hit with
She's 16.
You get hit with two more POW 14s, which will be AoEs because of the UA.
And their range will be 16.
The range
because she's going to be casting that crazy spell.
That fire group spell?
Yeah.
That's her and her battle group.
Oh, it's just her battle
it's
group?
It's not everybody.
Oh, that's right, that's right, okay.
Now, if you were to play with a caster head snipe, then it could be like a range 16.
It's dumb.
Which means then they could aim and you wouldn't necessarily need the Deadeye, making them like a 7. Or if Rangers marked a target, you can make them a 9. I mean, you can really jack up the rat to make these guys viable.
And of course, the guy has take up, so you can't just kill him to get rid of that one.
Or his other two buddies that are also in the unit.
Yeah, it's a interesting. Interesting little. For 1 point, you can have 3 in a unit. That finally makes Stormblades an 11-man unit.
That's pretty cool.
That's
what I was about to say. It finally lets you actually fill up that unit, which is good. I mean,
you're paying a ton of points for it, but it's beefier.
It ends up being exactly like a point a guy.
How does his weapon compare to the base Stormblade weapons?
Same POW.
Same POW, same range?
The range of his weapon, the Stormthrower, is 2 inches bigger. It's 10 inches, 10 inches versus their base 4. So technically it'd be, 12 versus their 6 or whatever, so twice as long. But their POW on the actual melee part is still a 13.
So it is basically a better guy than the base trooper anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're going to be useful.
So you get 3 of those, 5 storm blades, 1 regular leader, and then the 2 unit attachment.
Yeah, you get 11 guys for 11 points. It's not a bad deal. For guys that can, I believe they CMA, and their base melee attack, if they're within 5 inches of the leader, is P+15. So you can get a bunch of 15s off against Jackson melee, or shoot them down and kill them. I just look at them. They're going to, the heavies that they'll be able to hit easily, instead of like doing a ton of damage, they're just going to chip it away and let something else take the final hit.
These guys remind
me
of Zealots in that they're going to get close to the fight. Not quite in the fight, but they're going to get close to the fight and wear stuff down. But unlike Zealots, if you engage them, they will kick your ass.
Yeah.
The Zealots in the head will swing their little weak little saps.
I do like the art. The gun looks really awesome.
Yes, it does.
Looks almost a little too futuristic for me, but it's still in line with Sigmar.
It's very reminiscent of the Storm Guard.
I found one of those guns when I was playing Borderlands.
Really?
The Storm Guard's leader's weapon.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to that, I think.
Yeah.
Just a little more teched out.
Right.
The next thing would be.
So when do you think you're going to get your electric shotgun?
We'll get to that. The person with the electric shotgun would be Strange Ways. His spray is electrical damage.
That's at the glove, though.
That's the Nintendo Power Glove. So we need an electric shotgun.
What's it shooting out? Just electricity?
Yeah.
He does like the Force Lightning.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'll buy that.
So it's Darth Strange Ways?
He's Arian Strange Ways, not Arlen.
What?
Arian. That's what I've always called him, is Arian Strange Ways.
I'll get it.
It's nice and wholesome.
Nice and German.
Trencher Commandos.
Yeah.
That is misspelled, because doesn't Commandos, isn't it D-O-E-S? Isn't that the proper pluralization of it?
I thought it was K-O-M-M-A-N-D-O-S.
That would be Kador. Thank you.
Yeah, the Kadoran language, it uses the exact same alphabet, it just replaces all C's with K's.
Kind of, yes. Mechanics with a K.
Mechanech.
But that's something else entirely. They clarify the difference between a mechanic with a C and a mechanic with a K.
Really?
In the IK World Guide, of all things.
Do they really?
Or not the player guide, not the world guide.
Right.
Because a mechanic with a C just tells you that you work on machines, but with a K determines that you basically work on Mechanica and all the.
But doesn't it have to be written down for you to see the difference?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they're explaining it for players that are getting it. But it's interesting to
note.
There's
a slight pronunciation.
If I was in the IK world, I would call them Arcanics, because that would make more sense.
Because they work on arcs?
Because arcane.
All right.
And you wouldn't have to write it down. Could you write down your title for me? I'd like to realize just where I should evaluate you at.
I need to evaluate your pay scale.
Yeah. So then all the guys who just work on like clockworks just look around and they sneak that K on the end. Ha ha. Hoorays.
So what were you going to say, Josh?
How much do the Trencher Commandos make?
I don't know. They're like the Dirty Dozen. I'm excited about these guys. Anatomical precision, grenades, and a carbine.
Matt 7, anatomical precision.
Yep. We actually talked about
Matt 9 with Finn.
Yeah.
Well, we can just segue into their weapon attachment, the scatter gunners. Yeah, there is. I can totally see taking these guys. Sigmar's finally getting the sprays
they
need.
The only thing, though, about the commando, or the spray guy, is he loses his grenades. He can't chuck grenades.
I'm okay with that. Sprays can target get way more guys than an AoE.
I think it really depends on the situation which one's going to be more useful, but unfortunately, they have options, but it's not on the fly. You can't decide which of the two you want to do.
Well, and they also lose the carbine, too,
to take
the spray.
Sure.
But, you know, you figure if they see Finn, they're 7. If they're aiming, then they're a 9. I think there's ways to get them to be very reliable on hitting with their sprays. And POW 12, spray 8, is nothing to just ignore.
Like you said, you know, you got Finn, you have Deadeye every so often. You've got ways to buff them up a little bit.
And that's one of the things I've noticed in Mark 2 is they really have found ways for, you know, Sigmar has always relied on their shooting to an extent. They've found ways to make the shooting reliability through the roof, I guess is the way to describe it.
Did they need that?
Rats?
No.
Rats above 7.
They seemed to be okay before.
Took in away screening fix.
But now, like, the guys that are normally 5s are very reliable because there's lots of different ways to get it up to at least a 7, sometimes higher. With take up, so scatter guns are never going to go away until you kill the entire unit, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, these
guys.
Well,
you have to keep them bunched up to do that, though, but.
These guys are going to do pretty well, I think. I think you're going to see them fairly often. I think because they're about the same cost as the infantry, I think you're going to see at first the commandos a lot more. I don't know if they necessarily like replace the infantry, the trencher infantry, because smoke is still pretty useful.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say the whole smoke thing on themselves now changes their use a lot.
I still think they're useful though.
Well, an AD only gets you so far.
The other thing is, do these guys have dig in?
They do not.
No. Okay. Which is weird considering the, what's the next piece?
Well, they're supposed to be rushing in.
Yeah, these guys are like your, they get behind enemy lines and they even give you descriptions in the fluff in the beginning of the book that they run behind some Cadoran mortar guys and like slit their throats open and stuff. It's pretty cool.
There was a guy in World War II who ran around with a claymore and a bow and arrow who captured mortar encampments by himself.
Really?
I believe it was by himself. And there was like some specific, I can't remember the rate, a battle in the town where he led a group of commandos in and dislodged the Germans. And he did it all with a bow and arrow and a claymore.
Wow.
Yeah. He was known
his
to
name,
have said...
John Rambo.
John Rambo. So
you're about 50 years off there, I think.
He had some along the lines of any soldier or any officer who is not carried a sword is not properly dressed, even in World War II.
Oh, World War II, you said. Okay.
Yeah. World War I. No, World War II. Claymore, bow and arrows.
Interesting.
I can't remember his name.
He was old school.
But that dude, yeah, that dude was old school. I think he was a paratrooper. He actually jumped out of a plane with his shit.
Wow.
Oh, just like First Blood Part 2. If you guys have seen any of the Rambo movies.
Oh, yeah.
What's next?
Storm Tower?
Storm Tower. We've kind of talked about it already. I don't know if we really need to go over it again. It's going to be fun. Nothing spectacular, but nothing, you know, not bad either. It's a reliable RAT 7 that can hit potential model D3 extra models. So we got the Trencher Master Gunner. This is where I was going to comment on the commandos. It said it's pretty ironic that they don't have dig in, but this guy who is essentially a commando solo has dig in. Matt and Rat 6, he has a scatter gun and a trench knife. He has AD and he's a commander. And he has 3 special actions. He doesn't actually have anatomical precision or stealth or any of the other things that the other commandos have. This guy's just supposed to be a special trencher, so he'll help everybody. He has Artillerist, which is pretty funny, in my opinion, because Signar doesn't have a whole lot of AoEs, but now they're going to be more accurate.
Well, with the Grenadier.
The Grenadier, and actually he can help the infantry unit if they take the Grenadier unit guy, the weapon attachments. His other more useful ability, in my opinion, is Close Fire. Is range command of 9. Target friendly faction model. If that model is in range, friendly models do not suffer blast damage from its attacks this turn. So the commandos who throw grenades, they can, it almost makes them like zealots in a way.
Yeah.
They can throw on themselves, that guy can throw into the unit and not worry about killing his own.
It only affects a single model though.
Yeah.
These guys are MA2, so you can get 2 a turn, but still it's a little odd.
But, you know, if you figure, I think it's going to be more useful, like, after that turn you're stuck in combat. So you got, you know, your front 4 or 5 guys in combat, and then the enemy brings in their troops to start fighting, and you still have a couple guys that can throw.
I suppose.
And you you throw.
And if the other guys happen to be dug in,
you can't be dug in, you're melee.
No, I'm saying the guys are, like, further aren't in melee, and if they happen to drop
If they're commandos,
okay.
They can't dig in.
Well, if you mix these, well, this guy's in command. I mean, you could be mixed in with anybody else.
Well, right. But I was just thinking more of I just see him running around with the commandos a lot more. But the fact that he's a Rat 6 spray, I'm devoted to sprays, apparently.
How many points is he?
2. He's limited. I think, you know, I'll run 1 when I run my trenchers around, but I don't necessarily see the necessity of 2. Unless you're going to run, you know, the Grenadiers, Jacks and stuff, and you want to make them, you know, better. I think that's it.
That's it, the new stuff. I took a quick look through the painting guide. It actually seemed pretty decent.
Yeah, I was looking through it. I haven't really, I don't go with the standard scheme, so some of it's kind of meh.
But still, the techniques, though.
The techniques are good. It's interesting how they talk about how they do their leather and their tans. I thought those were pretty useful.
I've always had problems with metallics. That's been my biggest weakness.
Right.
So some of the stuff that they did on like how to do the spear, that should be handy.
Yeah, I think they'll be handy. The Arcane Glow, I think most people have a good handle on it, but little extra tips they put in there on how to do it is pretty neat.
I was going to say, especially on that the page you just mentioned, Tim, and the one before, it always amazes me how when they get a close-up of a really well-painted thing, you can still see, not necessarily the faults, but how, you know, you've got the different lines between the different shades of models and things like that. And it's only whenever you pull it away a little bit that it really starts to flow together and stuff. Mm-hmm. But when it gets that close, like on that face, when they're doing the 5-step of the face, you can still see striations where the paint had dried and whatnot, but I don't know.
But when you look far away, you're like, wow, that looks really good.
Right. So I think it makes it more accessible. Like, I can see that and think, okay, I can do that to that level if I follow the steps. You know, I think it just makes it more accessible a little bit.
Yeah. So then we have models in the back. pretty much everything that we've seen before. The big thing was that, you know, some of the new stuff, the Firefly. But then you look at it and you get new plastic. I'm assuming that they're going to change the Firefly. It says Plastic Jack right now. I think it's going to be Plastic Jack Kit.
Think so.
And you'll get all the options.
It does look really weird to say, look at the Charger.
The Charger's
on the different, on the, like the Thorn
huge.
Look.
Huge.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that the Sentinel shield is more proportionate with its model now, mm-hmm. but I'm like, it should have increased its POW.
It's got a spike on it.
Should be at least an 11. That's really, I can't complain too much. I mean, I really enjoyed the book. I thought it was, you know, I like that it's a good start, and, you know, the next one should be pretty interesting, too.
Well, I think that the next one will be okay. The one after that, I think, will be when they really pick up.
Oh, when they get the Crix or Mercs?
No, the one after the next one.
They're not doing a Protectorate book, Dave. That's what I heard. They're wiping them out. They're not even a faction anymore.
Right.
They're replacing them with Mercs?
Uh-huh.
Or Tau, I think is what they're
replacing. Oh, Tau. No, they already did it there. We were having, it's Gene Stealers.
Gene Stealers. Excellent.
All right, Tim, well, you made up a list using one of the tiers.
I did. Did we want to talk about fluff before we did the list?
Oh, I guess so. Sure,
sure, we can talk fluff.
Well, what happened? Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. The first part was all about the new Warcaster Kira Sloan, and some interesting fluff about her. I like that she did her journeyman tour under siege, so she really gotten, because he's all been always about following orders and doing the job and making sure that you do everything well. You know, he's just to does everything to the best of his ability. So she's, you kind of see that she takes that in, and that's like her, one of her things as well. She doesn't do anything, just kind of half-assed.
If you're going to spike right your hair, you don't spike your hair half-assed.
Exactly. So she is going to rescue a small force that was behind enemy lines. They were trying to raise a fort, and it was some long gunners and some trencher commandos. And you come to find out that the reason she's really gung-ho to do it, and she's actually torn between it for doing it for the right reason and the wrong reason, is that one of the commandos, one of the lieutenants, she's actually involved with romantically or something. And, you know, that goes against the military code. So she's kind of, she you can definitely tell that she struggles with that, but at the same time, she don't want to leave any man behind, but especially since, you know, her guy's out there fighting. Mm-hmm. And then between her going to do that, it also intercuts between the commando unit. And it's pretty cool because, like I said, they have some descriptions of them coming up on some mortar emplacements, and they're like slitting the Cadoran's throats, and, you know, they're like, okay, we got to go to work. That was pretty much the Sloan story. It was just a small skirmish. They do have a description of her and her battle group tearing through a destroyer pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The second part, which I thought was the most interesting, I definitely see that this is the beginning of the overall story arc, I think, was about Haley. And she's talking to Cray. She's got, you know, she's got some intel from a dubious source, and she wants to go check it out. And he's like, well, you know, I can show you how to get through there without raising the Cadorans. He's like, but I'm going to have to go with you because you're going to miss some markers. You're not going to know where you're going. So he ends up going with her, and they bring like Thorn and a bunch of hunters is what I think they take with her.
Mm-hmm.
And they come across this clearing where there is a Lich Lord. They don't name who it is. So I don't know if it's supposed to be Venithrax, a new guy, or somebody else.
Some people in the forums were speculating that it might have been Tenebris.
It could have been.
Because I can't remember what the reasoning was, but I don't know much about him, but yeah. Could have been him.
It could have been. I mean, they don't name who it is. I would think that they might have done the new one, but the results of it make me wonder if it is or not. Because
yeah.
Cray ends up having to leave Maligan, his horse, behind, so he's dismounted. So it's those two and versus him and some slayers and
is
some stuff.
Is Epic Cray going to be a Dragoon?
No. That would be cool, though. I don't want to think about him going Epic first. I want to see Siege go Epic first.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, they get into this fight, and he... the Lich Lord notices that that Haley reminds him of Denegra. That's mm-hmm. kind of cool. And then, as he's picking apart her brain, like he's in, like put his presence in her and is like trying to get information out of her, he realizes that the intelligence that they got, that she got, was actually from Denegra. So Denegra has been feeding Haley intelligence on mm-hmm. stuff. So right. There's definitely some story arc there going on. But Haley seemed to be like pushed to her limits, and she ends up killing the Lich Lord, which is really weird.
Well, you said he destroys his phylactery?
Yeah. She does. I don't know if it's just a combination of a couple of her spells and her feet or whatever, but it's like she pushes her powers to the limits and time basically stops for her momentarily, and she sees his true essence in his phylactery is like a part of him or something, and she cuts it in half. And
don't they usually keep that separate from themselves?
I would thought so too. That's so
maybe,
why I was like,
yeah, maybe it was weird. Maybe it was a ruse.
It could have been
a fake phylactery.
It was a fake phylactery. That's right.
Dave knows what that's about. He's got one.
Now, I thought I read somewhere in the boards, and again, I can't remember where. Seemed like it was confirmed that they're going to actually take the same story and really make it flow between all the books. Like, it's not going to be disjointed at all.
No, I get the feeling like the first part of the Kador book is going to be like the Kadoran fort that Kara is fighting. Mm-hmm. I would guess it would be from that angle, and then the second part will probably be like.
So, is it really only those two stories, pretty much?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Well, then the second part of all the fluff is like all the military history.
Sure, right, yeah.
And they've expanded on it from like what happened with Legends Forward, and all of the entries of the Warcashers do update. It's near the end of what happened since Legends or what's going on.
Okay.
Like Stryker's.
So in other words, I should steal one of your guys' books and read it.
Stryker's Storm Division has been restructured. They're no longer fighting at Sewell, but now they're a truly mobile strike force that moves around to where the help's needed.
A strike force?
Yes.
I like how they did sort of what they did in Superiority, where they had the breakdown of the army and had little, like, here's the Gravedigger description and all this sort of thing.
Yeah.
It gives you a little bit more depth into what's going on.
And they also went into more depth on, like, the Strategic Academy, where that's where their Warcashers are trained.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like that while Caspia is like the main headquarters for it, more Warcasters are trained at Point Bourne, which is farther up north. Then it's kind of interesting, some of the stuff. And they had a lot more on the CRS, the Signar Reconnaissance Service, which Kray and the Rangers come from.
Cool.
It's pretty much a spy agency.
Really? Sounds like a good backdrop for an IK role-playing game.
Yes, it would be.
Kind of like a small newspaper.
Yeah, we need to redo that, too.
These.
I came across your character cards just last night.
Nice. But that was it was a pretty good book all the way around. I liked it. It was enjoyable. I'm definitely, just funny thing is the day it came out, I was talking to Ray, and I said, sad thing is I'm already ready for the Kador book. Like, it's not even for all the models. I'm ready for the next part of the story.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any idea when the Kador book's coming out?
I would think it'd be the first of next month.
Think it's going to be monthly then?
Yeah, it's pretty much March will be Kador with some of the Signar releases mixed in and some Protectorate. And they're kind of staggering everything. Like, I don't think you'll get all of the Signar stuff until, like, the Crix books is finally out.
Oh.
I think it's going to be further down the line because I think next month the only thing that comes out are the Commandos for Signar.
Oh, really?
So I don't even know when the Firefly is going to be out. I haven't looked recently at their release schedule. I think they have. It's to be decided, but I think they have the March and the April one already up.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that was it was a good book. I still keep going back, reading through and paging through stuff, trying to absorb it all in.
How about paging through your army then?
I will. I'm getting to the tier so I can explain it as I talk about it.
I don't want to hear your excuses. I want results.
Dave.
What?
Never mind. It was going to involve a joke about you getting on a stepladder to talk to me face-to-face, but we'll get to that.
Good job explaining a joke rather than just telling it.
Yeah, I know.
He's going to bring the weatherman against you.
I am. That is one of the things I did like about the book. Every tiered list had a name for it.
The weatherman.
They're a band, apparently. Hallelujah. Somebody told me that.
That's actually a good trivia for Daikon. You know, who has the deadline tier?
Would be Captain I guess Victoria we're going to have to update our trivia, huh?
I guess we will. Yeah.
Dang it. Just when I thought we had enough.
Never have enough.
This is true. All right, so I decided, since I've been playing a lot of Epic Nemo with Fight Club and a bunch of the other stuff we've been doing, that I would make a Epic Nemo, also known as the Weatherman, tiered list for our... We haven't done, you know, we did a list last time, but something different, especially with the new book. So basically, what you can take in the Weatherman list is, for Warjacks, you can take Signar, non-character Warjacks, and the Thunderhead. That makes sense since it's Epic Nemo. That's his baby. Units, you can take Field Mechanics, Storm Guards. Now, I don't know if that indicates that there might be another type of Storm Guard unit down the road, or if it just leaves it open for design, you know. But and then Stormsmith units.
Solo. Stormsmith solo? Oh, Stormsmith units.
Well, right, that's now because the tower.
Sure.
But solos, you can take Junior, the Journeyman Warcaster, Squire, and Stormsmith solos. So it also leaves it open for potential Stormsmith solos down the road. Tier 1. Do you want me to read through all the tiers, and then we'll go into the list?
Sure.
Tier 1 is the requirements is that you can only include the models that are listed. And the benefit is the FA of Stormsmith Stormcallers, the solos, increases for by plus 1 for every heavy warjack included in your list. And the Stormsmith Stormcallers gain advanced deployment. Tier 2, the army includes two or more Firefly warjacks. Makes sense, since you're going to have more Stormsmiths. You want to kind of stack that even more. Firefly. The benefit of that is Firefly warjacks gain advanced move, which is almost the same thing as AD.
Essentially, except they take up space in your deployment zone.
Right. They make you deploy differently a little bit. Tier 3 is the army, the requirement, you have to have two units of Stormguard.
Okay.
Two or more Stormguard units. Right now, it's only the Stormguard infantry guys. And the benefit is you get a free Stormsmith Storm Tower that does not affect the FA. So you could definitely, you could have three instead of two. And tier 4 is the requirement is Nemo's battle group has two or more heavy warjacks, and the benefit.
At this point, you also have to have two Fireflies, so you have at least four
warjacks in your list, at a minimum. I can see having more. In fact, my list does have more. So the benefit is that friendly model units can begin the game affected by Nemo's upkeep spells.
Now, did you go with a? This is a 50 or.
And the other benefit is that he does not pay focus to upkeep the spell on the first turn, which is weird because some of the spells that allow you, like some of the tiers,
you still
have to pay the upkeep in the first turn.
Oh, really?
So it's an interesting dichotomy on how they set some of the tiers up. So what were you going to say, Dave? I'm sorry.
Yeah, what point level is your list?
50 points, and I actually got up to tier 4 in 50 points.
Did you come up with a clever name for this army?
The Channel 9 Weathermen?
The Channel 9.
I don't know. Do they have channels in Signar?
Well, they might now because the Stormsmith Storm Tower was created out of Epic Nemo created a telegraph service. So now they can send messages really fast to each other.
That's really neat.
And so they applied the same technology and made it a weapon.
This feels like the lightning towers in one of the Command and Conquer games.
Oh, really?
So a clever name for this list. I didn't think of one, but I normally do.
You're on the spot.
Okay, on the spot.
Be clever. Be clever now.
Electric Worry. Like the song by Clutch? You ever heard that song?
No.
That's the song on the commercial for Left 4 Dead 2. Have you guys seen that commercial?
No.
Oh, my God.
I've seen the Bayonetta commercial a lot.
But Electric Worry, that's what I'm going to call the list.
That's less of a commercial and more of a tease show.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen the. I actually watched a review of it on Giant Bomb.
Oh, yeah.
And the game's okay if you can accept that they're being very gratuitous with certain aspects of the visuals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Aspects, meaning
yes,
boobies.
Aspects. And boob specs.
Boob specs.
All right, so let's get to the list. My list is General Adept Nemo, obviously. I have a Stormclad and a Hammersmith for my two heavies.
What time is it, Tim? What time is it?
It's hammer time.
It's hammer time.
Can't touch this.
Da, 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 da.
It took me a second. I was like, what? I don't have a watch. So after the Stormclad and Hammersmith, I have two Fireflies, obviously, because I wanted to meet the tier requirements. I also have
you
a
chart. You mean the Mal and Zoe?
I should.
Okay.
Or I could go with Inara and Kaylee. I was a fan of Kaylee.
Why don't you name them Book and Wash so I can kill them?
Oh!
Come on, Dave. Spoilers. God.
And then for my last Warjack, I put in a Charger because Chargers are dumb under Epic Nemo's feet. After that, I have a Journeyman Warcaster, a Squire, five Stormsmiths, which is the funny part of the list, I think. A full unit of Stormguard, a minimum unit of Stormguard, and a Stormsmith Storm Tower.
So with five Stormguard and two Fireflies,
it's a lot of triangulation
five
and surges.
Potential triangulations per turn, and you've got a decent.
Well, and what's interesting about the triangulation is like one Stormsmith can do it and target up to three models.
Mm-hmm.
A different Stormsmith could do it, and if those models are in the same triangle, they can target the same models.
It's just that one Stormsmith cannot triangulate or surge on the same model twice.
Right. But what's cool about that is because they're with Epic Nemo, they go up to Stormcall 9 for the surge, and they get +2 to the POW. So instead of POW 10s, they're POW 12s. So it's like getting hit with hand cannon shots repeatedly.
Yeah. Reliably.
Almost. Reliably. Although, for the first time, I failed two or three.
Really?
Last Wednesday. And that's actually a first for me. I've actually been pretty good about hitting them.
Did you get
damaging,
the
not so much, but hitting it isn't.
Did you get through all the list?
What?
Did you get through all of it?
Yeah, that's
okay.
All of it.
Okay.
It's 50 points, and I hit all the tiers, which I was surprised. I think the trick that everybody's looking at now is what lowest point level can you get the max benefit out of the tiers?
Mm-hmm.
But and I've on a related note with the tiers, I found some that's like I wouldn't necessarily want to go to the max tier. I might want to stop at 3 or even 2 potentially. So, you know, this list is definitely designed for me to be more of a fun list. I don't know how competitive it would be.
So how's it going to approach the battle?
The battle?
You do have 12 infantry that are decent at kind of leading the charge.
A lot of electro leaping going on between ranged attacks and,
I'm sorry, do you still have, was it a minimum and a max?
Min and a max.
Okay.
You know, I think it's going to be on the first turn, you're going to have your Stormclad. Or your Hammersmith, I don't know. One of them will be affected by Lightning Shroud, plus 2 strength and Electro Leap on the weapons. I find it amusing on the Hammersmith because of follow-up, beat-back, and chain attack smite.
Mm-hmm.
Just can really wail into some enemy forces and set off some Electro Leaps pretty reliably. Stormclad is just a great beat stick. It also kind of fits the theme of the whole stormy.
I kind of almost prefer to put it on the Hammersmith, I think, because you're going to eventually want it on the Stormclad to get his attack up. Because he's got a reach. He can reach further. He can do big hits. The Stormclad has a sword?
Stormclad has a sword.
Yeah. Should have reach. So the thing that it's got, though, is you know, your Hammersmith can go in with the upkeep, do it, and then you can switch the spell, and the Stormclad can go in and hit whatever he needs.
Mm-hmm.
So that by starting it with the Hammersmith, you're kind of setting up for that 1-2 punch.
Well, and the Hammersmith, if you put it on there, it makes them 7 or 19s on the hammer, so they're equal to his base, the Stormclad's base mm-hmm. of the sword of people size 19. So that's pretty good. And then, you know, if you need the Hammersmith, or you need one of them to just beat down on a, you know, an avatar or something that's got a high armor, then you can just put it on the Stormclad and let him go to town, because he is just disgusting. After that, you know, I figure the Fireflies are gonna, since they have advanced move, I don't necessarily feel the need to run them on the first turn. You know, they can walk and start to set up the triangulation, since you're gonna have, the way I envision it is you're gonna have a couple Stormsmiths and a Firefly on each flank and kind of move in towards the middle to set up the...
Well, it's 20 inches between any of the models.
Uh-huh.
That is a vast space on the table.
Well, and since between advanced move and advanced deploy, you're going to have a pretty good range mm-hmm. of the table. I don't necessarily think I would run the Fireflies, like because they would be almost the first wave,
mm-hmm.
it would be very easy for them to get attacked and killed before you could set up any of the triangulation.
Right.
So you might have to use...
Right behind the Storm Guard.
As the Storm Guard or... you kind of use your heavies as the first line, because you could when Lightning Shroud will be on one heavy, the other one will get the Polarity Shield, so it can't be charged, and that one should kind of take the lead to kind of, you know, make things have to either run past it or whatever.
Now, do you own 5 Stormsmiths?
I will. I actually, this is the one I wanted to play anyway.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, after just playing Epic Nemo, I've kind of fallen in love with how fun he is. He's not necessarily uber competitive, but I just have a blast playing him. I always try to push how far I can go with him, and either in melee or it's like, you shouldn't do this. I've lost quite a few games because I've had to put him in the melee, and it's just not worked out well. You know, so Storm Guard will follow up, and the tower, I think, you know, will move the first turn, but then it's got a 14-inch range.
Run on the first turn?
Run on the first turn. Maybe not necessarily the max of... I don't even know what the max is.
Probably 8. Well, if you got your Storm Guard going up
quick. Yeah, the max would be 8. Maybe it would go the max, and then 14 inches from there, and you run. Maybe it would go 10 and have them right behind a unit of Storm Guard who run up as, like, the screen or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the minimum unit, because I just figured there'd be your casualty takers and let your max unit come in and wreck space.
You're just covering so much ridiculous space with Electro Leaps on this.
I just realized how the Stormsmith Storm Tower has Electro Leap.
Mm-hmm.
Both units of Storm Guard do. The Surges and Triangulations are kind of like Electro Leaps.
Firefly?
The Firefly has them, and the Stormclad has it on both its gun and its melee weapon.
Well, Nemo will give Lightning
Shroud. And Nemo
somebody.
Will give it like the Hammersmith or something. It's pretty ridiculous.
So everybody but Nemo and the Journeyman and Squire.
And the Charger.
So that's a lot of leaping.
It's a lot of leaping.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It is pretty ridiculous.
So even though it's a pretty compact army, you're still getting 2-for-1 on most of your hits.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
What are you going to do when you eventually run out of squishy guys who die as the Pow 10s?
Pow 12, you mean?
No, leaps are 10s.
Oh, leaps are 10s? Well, then you got to rely on your heavy hitters. I mean, the Storm Guard, if they have to get in there, like say one of the heavies has already bitten the dust,
mm-hmm.
they have CMA, and they are 12s. So, you know, 2 or 3 on a CMA on a charge is a 15 with 3 dice. So they'll be able to put a hurt on something.
Yeah, and the most likely going to be a bigger than a small base, so they can just attack over each other if they need
right.
to. And,
is it bigger than a bread box?
Say it again?
Is it bigger than a bread box?
Probably bigger than a bread box.
Cool.
Well, the Storm Guard also have ranked attacks, too.
Oh, they do still have ranked
attacks? So, well, okay. The great thing about that is that means that the Storm Tower can shoot right through them and not care.
Well, yeah, and if it leaps back on them, they're immune to the electricity anyway.
Yep.
So that's kind of interesting. And then I'm really interested to see how that Storm Tower is going to work. I wonder if it's going to become a staple in the army.
So you're pretty much just going to try and punch a hole and send one of the heavies through under Epic Nemo's abilities?
Between Energizer for extra movement
mm-hmm.
and his feet, he definitely can make sure that his heavies wreck face or at least open the gap. And, you know, I could almost see opening the gap to send a charger in with 3 focus. I've done it in plenty of games where
mm-hmm.
that was the whole point, was to get the charger up. And the charger can hit pretty reliably with a Rat 6 boosted attack and damage roll. Even if you don't hit with both and maybe kill a Warcaster, if you can put, you know, 5 or 6 points on a Warcaster, that usually makes them think. And it's like, I either have to kill that Jack or I have to run away.
If you're lucky enough, you could get the slam off from the Hammersmith and knock down the caster somehow and then just go in and unload with the charger. That'd be kind of a... that'd be pretty nice.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I actually now want to go buy a Hammersmith. I never bought one. But when I started collecting my Signar, it was all in Mark 1, and it wasn't necessarily the greatest Jack to take in Mark 1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Centurion was still a better... Bye. I've been trying to hold out because my theory is when the next book with everybody comes out that you'll see for the secondary chassis, so the Grenadier Hunter chassis and the Centurion Hammersmith chassis would see a third one for each and then a plastic kit for both, was my guess. Who knows if that's true or not. It would be nice.
It would.
But yeah, I definitely think there's some weaknesses to this army, for sure. You know, Arc Shield's got to go somewhere from Junior.
Yeah.
What's your choice?
Probably the Storm Guard unit. Because they're defense 12, armor 15. That makes them an 18 armor. It makes them pretty beefy. I could potentially see, actually, maybe, if you're going to put risk a Firefly, maybe putting it on that. That makes it a defense 13, armor 19. It's pretty...
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Considering you got to wipe out the whole grid. I mean, that's not
right.
necessarily good.
Well, and as long... It's like, okay, so it runs, and then... I envision it that, you know, it will maybe charge to get in and make an attack, but then after that, it's purposely there to be the third point for your triangulation.
Well, on your feet turn, it's going to have the 3 focus. Send it in, charge with its POW 13, kill a couple things, and then it's in prime position for that triangulation.
And as long as one box is left on that, it's still a Stormsmith for the purposes of the triangulations. I think if you can, you know, get in around some infantry units, get it stuck in, you can get some triangulations off and kind of wipe out the unit and then let him kind of move around. And I want to put it to the test and put it out there. I'd like to try it. I definitely, you know, I think
I'll play you.
I knew you were going to say that. I'm like, Protector's probably got some stupid good foils for this.
You know, not that great. The thing is, we don't have a lot of ranged attacks to pick off your Stormsmiths. So, I mean, that's probably where the AoEs are going to go. To try and stop the triangulations. Because if I can stop the triangulations and use something like Bastion's TFG with Shield Wall or even Errant's with Bond of Life to slow up your Storm Guard,
mm-hmm.
if I can halt you while I kill your big infantry clearing stuff, then I've poised myself for
right.
a counterattack.
Right.
But I've got to do it before you can get in. It's not, you know, just a downright easy thing to do. Because, I mean, like, I can't throw smoke with the Reclaimer. Because,
right.
well, you do need line of sight now. So there
you
is that.
You do need line of sight. And he is the only model that can put smoke out without having it to be in it.
Right. So, I mean, there's some cool stuff. I mean, like, Fiora feeding. I mean, she camps on focus, feeds, lights your stuff on fire. Even at 18, you're going to probably die to fire. Because damage roll on fire is 19 if it doesn't go out.
Right. He says it stays around and, you know, you get a second chance the next
turn. Well, that's Epic Fiora. I'm talking about regular Fiora.
Well, any fire
yeah,
at all.
Sure,
any
sure,
fire
right.
at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Epic Fiora would be good, too, because you could throw out a lot of it. Mm-hmm. A Repenter, the range helping you get the Stormsmith or the fire causing spray going over the storm guard, that kind of stuff. So I think that, like, against this, the best thing is going to be basically flames.
Oh, yeah. And you know what's interesting? I was also thinking about other tactics with this list. The single strikes from the Stormsmith cause disruption, too.
Mm-hmm.
So you get your Firefly stuck in with a jack, and you're afraid it's going to die. You can do, okay, well, this one's going to do a triangulation, and then the next one that gets in range of the jack is going to go, I'm going to try to hit your enemy jack and disrupt it and keep it from really effectively hurting me.
You definitely have a way to lock down jacks of all times. And Nemo himself, I've seen him use a stupid tractor beam gun.
Well, and, you know, I've upset a few Protector players, too, because they're like, oh, my choir, it still gets around the choir because it's a magic weapon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So he still shoots the jack and is like, oh, look, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah. So that means you're almost guaranteed either you've got them locked down in place or they're all spread out giving you holes.
So that's right, give me advantage. With this list, your only shooty thing is going to be your storm tower, really.
Right.
So if I'm okay with that hitting my jack, and if I keep infantry a little bit back from it, I am fine singing basically infuse every turn. And if I infuse a Redeemer, I don't care if I can't give it focus, that's still POW 8 blast damage.
Oh, yeah. Stormsmiths are only armor 11. You'll crumple them quick.
A Vanquisher under infuse, high damage, and it's throwing fire out. So, I mean, there's...
Oh, yeah. There's definitely some...
That's one of the things I like about the Protector is we can get around... Well, right now, we have a way kind of around disruption in the aspect of just giving bonuses to hit and stuff to make up for it. When we get our little vassal mechanic who
is
going to get power boost.
I would guess he's going to get power booster, which kind of sucks because that means everybody gets around disruption.
Yeah, yeah. But you can dole it out. So, I mean,
you can dole out so much.
I mean, we're talking about what we would bring against him if we knew what was coming up against. I mean, in general, this might be something hard to plan against.
I think it'd be interesting. Like against Crix, because Satixis are seeing a lot of play right now.
Yeah, nope.
And those storm, you know, you get a storm. They come in and charge, you know, a Firefly. If they don't kill it, there's going to be quite a few of those guys.
Even
that
if
are
you
beaten.
Do, you run one Stormclad kind of around them, or
Firefly,
Stormsmith,
or Stormsmith, right, mm-hmm. and get it set off. Yeah. I just think there's a lot. I think this is going to be an interesting list.
Well,
the more I'm looking at it, I'm getting more excited about trying to play it.
Just looking at my army that I played again at Resurgence, it wasn't obviously as geared towards this sort of thing. It did actually have a Vanquisher and a Redeemer, which was handy, but it also had Daughters. So Bastions and TFG could block your lines. Daughters could actually sprint through and start charging and killing Stormsmiths from a decent distance.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there are still ways. I mean, obviously, a not geared toward list. You still have ways, but like you said, it's at least from my perspective, playing the Protector, I don't have the range like Signar shoot it before it gets to me. I can't gun you down on the way in. I could fill the air with rockets, but I can't kill the Storm Guard, especially not the Arc Shield ones. I might get some lucky rolls on the other one, but all I got to do is I got to set them on fire and I got to take down the Stormsmith so you don't just wipe the field.
Josh, what would you do?
As for Crix, I think Crix has some tools to use against it, and I think luckily a lot of these tools are ones that I might be bringing anyway, regardless of whether I know what you're going to bring. So stealth is going to be great, because you have to get that initial hit off in order to leap. Now, you might end up targeting your own guys at one point, but that's okay. I'll have to expect that. Getting rid of the Stormsmiths, I can do that with Blow Thralls, Venoms, any sort of ranged or blast attack like we're talking about. Now, of course, Crix doesn't have as many ranged blast attacks, but we do have plenty of spells that can be slowing around. Now, that probably means I'm also using Arc Nodes, which I may not have as many in Mark II. I don't know. I still tend to bring a lot of Arc Nodes.
And they're going
to
be disrupted.
Well, no, because I'm going to have my...
two Sirens in the
sirens
list. Yeah, that's pretty...
Screw you.
I kind of think they're going to be seeing a lot of play.
They will. And they're just going to be eating up points that I might not have used otherwise. But if I know this kind of thing is out there, especially if I know you're just going to bring... I mean, I know our meta. You bring Enemo now.
It's pretty much guaranteed at least three Stormsmiths.
Right, so I'm going to have something like that. So at least one Siren. And they might even help pin down some of your jacks at a critical point. But yeah, I think Crix in general is going to be okay against it. But it's going to be a matter of getting in fast, because once you get up to me, you're going to just ripping my stuff apart.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, it's a matter of just doing things quickly, which is for me, it's my MO when I play Crix anyway. So,
I think anything like heavy armor Kador will probably go through this pretty quick.
I don't know. Mm. I mean, if you can, the jacks
are,
keep them disrupted and they still hit like a ton of bricks, but they're only doing it
and,
once.
And you can only get one that's not going to be disrupted then.
If you could reliably slam something back with the Hammersmith and then disrupt it, it's not getting anywhere near you. Next
yeah, time. Because then it's screwed.
Because knockdown jack that's disrupted can't be allocated
can't
the focus it needs to shake off.
Right, right.
Yeah.
What about other signal lists? I think that would be a pretty tough challenge because they're just going to pick your shit off.
Oh, well, is there as much range?
Coming at me? Let me just use my sniped long gunners to kill him.
Yeah, well, you know. Mm-hmm. I think any normal built list that's not a tier list will probably do pretty well. And across the factions, I think.
I don't know. That might be giving it too much credit.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that might be not given enough credit. I think it's against certain matchups, it's still pretty good. But I think a heavy shooty list is where it's going to run into problems because you still have to get a little bit close. You have to send something past their lines to triangulate.
Right.
What about Retribution?
Mage Hunters.
Mage Hunters are going to...
They're going to start hurting Nemo really quick.
Especially on top of that, even if they don't have like Backlash or something like that, if they've got the UA and they're shooting through forests and even models, they can pick off the Stormsmiths without caring.
Yeah. Well,
that's
going to
be very dangerous.
One of my weaknesses I think I have in this list is not having a Lancer in there to arc Nemo's AoE spell. Because I see those Mage Hunter units and they always tend to kind of clump up around each other so they can all shoot at max range and hit something. Mm-hmm. They're pretty good targets for AoEs and stuff. That's a limit of what this list can do, is I don't have a lot of AoEs floating around.
Yeah.
Rely on that Stormsmith to hit them.
But anybody, if you're facing either Kalissa or Virus seeing through armies, they're just going to shoot. They're going to drop Nemo dead. He's
going to be hurting.
He's going to eat something to the face and going to turn to a big pile of ash. So that's definitely a problem.
I just have to hope that as I'm killing things with my other guys, that enough Electro Leech are getting through on their other.
Well, that's the thing, though. If they either bring Halberdiers and leave them in Shield Wall, or if they bring, Dawn Guard and have them in, what's the word? Defensive line. That's armor 17.
17, yeah.
18 on the guys in Shield Wall. That takes an above average Electro Leech to kill.
Oh, yeah.
That's actually very resilient against your stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe they bring some, even if they bring the Riflemen. Well, they're doing CRAs, and if they miss, they re-roll. They're going to be picking stuff up. I think Retribution of anybody has some of the best options because, they don't have quantity, but they have decent quality in their troops in matching up against this.
They aren't, a lot of the Strike Force isn't fearless, right? They do have that problem. I mean, if you can get them to fail a check or two,
the thing is,
that
though, he has anything that causes terror.
Well, I mean, he has
you
a
have
lot
to
of,
do massive casualties.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he can do that.
Well,
and
if it's definitely the Mage Hunters, I think I can do... I have a pretty good chance of putting a hurt on them just because of the Electro Leaps, because Electro Leaps are auto kill.
Yeah, I mean, they do have stealth.
Still got a hit on them.
So you got to watch out for that.
Well, yeah, but most of my stuff has Electro Leap reliably on the melee weapons are Mat 7.
You've got a pretty fast Firefly. You can run it up there and shoot it in the back or something, but yeah. I mean, still, it's going to be iffy. That would be difficult.
Yeah, but if it's up that high, you got to think they're going to have a chance to rally the next turn. So.
Potentially, but that might be the one turn you need at least to get in a position.
You can buy yourself some time.
Yeah. Or, you know, if you are running a Stormsmith around the side, they're not going to be fleeing in any direction they want if they do move.
Well, that Stormsmith is probably going to have to deal with a Mage Hunter Assassin coming around somewhere. Or at one of the Heiresses or, something.
Narn coming through your lines.
Narn.
Zap him. Give him that Pow 12 to the face.
I loved it.
Zap.
Even the Pow 10s do pretty well against the Mage Hunter Assassins. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think that's the thing. Your Lightning Call will screw their squishies, but your Lightning doesn't do quite as much against their tougher guys.
No, it doesn't.
So it's actually, you've got a really hard hitting melee line coming up. If they've got some decent range, it's a question of can they shoot enough before you get to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in a scenario play, I think you've got the advantage if they don't go heavy Dawn Guard, or even against like my army, if I don't go heavy survival melee, because you can take the middle and pick off stuff at range. But if they also have a heavy melee component.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, both armies are going to evaporate really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to come down to who can get the jump and who can get the faster jump. And I've seen it in a lot of cases, even against the fairly fast Retribution. I've been pretty good with Energizer and Nemo's feet and stuff, that threat ranges, I've been able to kind of get the jump on some of the heavies and the hard-hitting guys. Got to kill it, though. I spent last game against Epic Horlock, Head Mulg. I spent all of my focus from Epic Nemo's feet on every jag against Mulg and left it with 3 life. And then he won.
Wow.
I had bad damage rolls, though, of course.
See, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a jack out there for your Stormclad to charge, and I'm going to enliven it.
Great. I don't care. I know. It'll move away.
Just Shadowbind it first.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Siren
right
out there.
Is it one as soon as
so
it gets hit with
Siren
an
the
attack?
Next Frankenstein event?
Maybe if I ever play one. A Frankenstein event, that is.
I hope that Frankenstein goes away with Merc 2.
It would be nice. Well, because you can't play 666-point games anymore.
66.
66.
Order 66.
It'd be 66.6 games. And you'd have to round, so. I don't know.
That's a, you could use whelps to get that 0.6, couldn't you? Aren't they 0.2 apiece?
I have no idea.
I think the 0.2 apiece.
You only take three.
No, the 0.4. Never mind. So you have to take three of them.
Well, that's the list, guys.
So what do you guys think about the tiers in general? Do you think that they're just for goofiness, or do you think they're actually going to be used a lot?
I think that especially early in the meta, they have a very decent chance of being effective on the surprise factor,
because
people don't know them. It's like, oh, you can do what? Crap, I just lost the game.
Yeah.
It's actually one of the reasons I don't like them coming out yet, or I don't like the fact that they made so many. I would have preferred like two or three for each faction to come out at once in the next book. Because it's just, it's a whole lot to learn. Because it's not just learning a model. It's,
you're learning the army.
You have to memorize, like, the entire tier for each, you know, each list.
Well, for the most part,
it's not undoable, but it's just more that I have to work.
Well, I think also a concern is the person who's going to be playing the tier list, I would hope to God they're bringing the book with them. So you can be like, well, can I look at your book so I can read it
Well, this is the reason that, like, I think that we should put two cards.
Cards with these? Oh, yeah, I could see doing that.
And
or like a PDF small sheet or something.
I really don't understand why they didn't like put rip-outable pages in the book. Because obviously they didn't want to put in the decks. Okay, well, that's fine. We'll do like they did with the old special forces. So you can so you don't have to bring your book everywhere you go if you need to.
But I think you could put one or maybe two lists on a side of a card.
Oh, you could easily do that, yeah.
So we might have to see
regular and an epic on one side.
See if we can do that. Actually, I would want them all in the front, so I don't have to flip. Well, it just doesn't matter. You only need one side or the other, so who cares?
A lot of these, though, just have to do with things you do at the very beginning of the game, or how many new things or extra things you can bring in an army. They don't necessarily give you, oh, everybody gets +4 to attack rolls or things.
I'm sorry, keep going.
I was just gonna say, so it's not necessarily going to affect anything in the middle of the game. You'll know what it does, hopefully, at the beginning of the game, and be able to go from there. But there shouldn't be any surprises.
But keep in mind, though, you can screw yourself in deployment in this game.
Oh, sure.
I mean, yeah, they do stuff in deployment, but if you didn't expect that for, say, redeployment, like some of those abilities is like a unit can redeploy, that could potentially lose the game for you.
I was assuming that your opponent doesn't know what your guys do.
The tier 3 benefit of Epic Striker is that Lattermore and any, you can have up to 2 units of Stormlines, so up to 2 units of Cav and Lattermore can redeploy after everybody's deployed, including your AD. So you can potentially shift an entire flank one thing that somebody brought up, and it's kind of a good point. Thankfully, we have some really good press gangers that know the rules and are on top of things. Taking these two events and the tournament organizer knowing the tiers, it's either going to require them to have something like a download or to have the books to know.
Well, I would say, hey, you're bringing a tier list. You need to bring me your book with the rules in it. Don't expect me to have all the
rules. I think that's a given, but I could see potential trouble early on until people really get
even
to
accidental.
Well, yeah, I don't even mean people being jerks. I mean, it happens.
And I mean, let's face it, right now there is for many press gangers who maybe haven't been doing a whole lot of Mark II, right now we have basically all new models to learn, new rules interactions relatively, and then all the tier systems. So I mean, and on top of that, you've got the PDFs that God knows if they're up to date yet on Hordes or not. So there's unfortunately some room for accidental mistakes, and it's going to be something you just have to watch the tournament play. Now, in casual play, it's going to be much easier because who cares?
Right.
I mean, obviously you want to have the right stuff, but there's no like onus on it.
And I think the people that are going to play the tiered list, in my opinion, like in tournaments, are going to be the ones that are like really love that type of unit. Like Ray, I know, is so excited about getting the butcher, you know, a potential butcher list with lots of Doom Reavers and Fenris running around, you know, something not necessarily great, but something that could be fun to play. And, or, you know, like, I love Siege and Trencher, so I'm going to also try to do the Trencher tiered list. I got to get a third chain gun, though, to make the list. But, you know.
You own two already.
Yes, I do.
Somehow.
I got a good deal on them.
Oh, okay, there you go.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who plays what to and to what extent, because that's another thing. You don't have to play up to 4 tiers. You could build your list with those models up to tier 2 and stop.
And it's often easy to get tier 1. Like, you were going to play tier 1 anyway.
Tier 1, almost every, actually, let me make sure. Yeah, all of the tier 1s are basically, you have to include only the models that are listed.
Right.
So that's pretty easy to do. You're guaranteed tier 1 just by the fact of those models. You know, I think there's going to be there's a learning curve.
Yeah, but, and I don't think they're as competitive as the
Mixed Martial Arts. No, no. I think some of them are more competitive than others. Like, if you look at, like, regular Strikers, it's everything out of Prime, plus Old Rowdy, and plus the potential for a Stormblade solo down the line.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah, it's solid. It's a good list. It's going to do well.
I think what it does, and I'm glad it does this, is it does make people who want to do the theme list, it gives them a little bit more of an advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it helps them out to not be as uncompetitive as they were before.
Well, and, you know, they get the trade-off. They don't get to necessarily take a unit that might really help them, but instead they get something for free, so essentially their list goes a little bit higher in points than another one would of the same.
I can't wait till I get my Protector. I want it to basically, you get a free unit of Zealots and Model Spare.
No.
This does make me look forward to all the other books. I mean, not just the Crix one, but really well put together. The tiers get me excited, and hell, I might even go through and read the fluff for once.
All I know.
I think you should.
Trivia
reasons, you should.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, you know, in the military history fluff, it had some old stuff, but it was because of what happened in Legends and, you know, what the current things are, how things have shifted and changed.
So is there any retcon in this that you noticed?
A little bit, kind of, sort of. I mean, it makes sense. I wouldn't necessarily call it retcon. It's more of, here's the current status of what's going on with these armies. Because, like, they talk about the Fourth Army in Signar, which went against the Trolls and Metamorphosis, and it talks about how basically there's a conspiracy in that army that they basically all the officers and stuff that died were the ones that were loyal to Leto.
Oh, yeah.
So they're all gearing up for the Fourth Army to kind of shift towards Vinter when he returns.
Right, right.
Well, I guess that's it. All I know is I want my new Warcaster to be cool, kind of like Carol, only more so.
What's your guy's name? Scrutator?
I don't know.
Vice Scrutator.
It's Miami Vice. I'm going to put a jacket on.
He's got the pastel undershirt with the white jacket and sunglasses.
Mm-hmm. Is he Crockett or Tubbs?
He's Tubbs.
Who doesn't want to be Tubbs?
Well, the next Miami Vice, Crockett gets the boss a cup of coffee. Ace Winter.
So, anything else before we call this?
I'm done.
You're done?
Done.
Take him out of the oven. He's done.
Okay.
I'm going to play with my new Battle Foam bag. Try to map out when I'm going to...
Did you get a 1520 or a War Machine bag?
I got the 1520.
Good call.
Might get a second one if I get my trade-in stuff at the store.
Here's the scary thing is I have enough models across all the factions that I play for probably two more 1520 bags.
I have four bags that I'm using right now.
Yeah. I'm not giving up my SS bags though right now. I still keep them all and use them for other things.
What was that? Oh, SS bag, right. Well, see, one of my zippers on the SS bag is broken, so I can use the other one, but I'm thinking if the second one goes out, I just might rig up a ton of Velcro or something around the edge.
Why don't you just ask me to have Laura put another zipper on it?
Because my wife could do the same thing.
My wife has a Bernina embroidery machine. She could embroider your zipper.
Probably. But if it's embroidered, it's probably not functional. It just looks like a zipper.
No, like do some like swirly doily patterns to attach the zipper to the bag.
She can do doily patterns?
Sure.
I'm totally in.
Trixian pattern on the...
Ooh. Yeah, can she program like the dragon spiral?
Yeah.
That would actually be pretty cool.
If it wasn't for copyright infringement, I could sell that.
Doesn't have to be exactly like it.
Oh, right.
It's KRYX. It's totally different.
No, ours is Kador.
Josh, why are we talking about KY?
Wow, I didn't even...
You said K?
Bye, everybody.
There's an R in there. There's an R in there.
Bye, everybody.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
To contact Iron Agenda by email, send your message to contact@ironagenda.com. To send a voicemail, dial 206-333-0983. Iron Agenda is copyright 2010 by its hosts and released under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. Opening and closing music provided by Joshua Salter. Iron Agenda is affiliated with Spooky Outhouse Productions. For more podcasts, visit www.spookyouthouse.com.